Hi, and welcome to Spider Rob's Quest, the first podcast brought to you by me, Spider Rob. So, this being my first podcast, I kind of wanted to go over something that I feel is misrepresented among those of us that claim to be gamers, those of us that call ourselves gamers, right? And that is this whole, like, console concept that everything needs to go to cloud gaming. Now, I believe cloud gaming is more of like a technical geeks type thing, not so much a gaming or a gamer or a gaming geek. Like, most of us that are gamers, and I do really mean most of us, because this is, you know, I've been a gamer since before we even had a term for it. I mean, I was racking up, you know, scoring points in arcade machines and Atari home console and playing on the Commodore 64, where I had to type in a little bit of code just to access the game on a floppy disk. Now, not saying that because I've been doing this for a long time, pretty much most of my life being a gamer, that makes me more qualified or more as a hardcore gamer or whatever. I believe that there's actually really no such thing, at least anymore, as like a hardcore gamer versus a regular gamer. I believe a gamer is somebody who embraces the life of wanting to play video games, and video games across multiple systems and multiple technology. Like, some of you may love to play on your smartphone. But I'm not saying if you're busting out Candy Crush every once in a while, or you used to play Words with Friends back in the day, that you're suddenly a gamer. You really don't quite cross that threshold. But those of you who I would like to call my fellow gamers, whether you're boy or girl, or whatever you want to refer to yourself, it really doesn't matter. Gamer, basically, is a term that is broad, but it has one defining point, and that is that you love gaming to a point where it is intricate throughout your life. Like, you go and you play games, not just casually, not just whenever you're like in an office at a doctor's appointment waiting and you're flipping through your phone, but those of us that go home, like, sit down, yeah, you know, we get a beer, you get wine, you get some soda, you pop in some, open up some Pringles or Doritos and vegging out in front of your TV and just gnashing away on some form of a console's joystick or controller. Or even if you're doing it on the computer, or hell, even if you have a handheld and you got your good old trusty Nintendo 3DS or your Game Boy Advance or your PlayStation Vita. Either way, you're part of that genre, that niche, that group of people that are bonded together by a love of gaming. And that is what brings you back to this whole idea of cloud gaming. Cloud gaming sounds great in concept. I'm not completely against it, but I do solemnly believe that you cannot get rid of physical copies of games. For one thing, it will kill the gaming industry. And I don't care who has what degree and who thinks they know more about how, like, gaming and all that and, like, business works. Here's your business model, people. There are actually brick-and-mortar stores. You know, the places you actually have to walk in. It's crazy. You have to, like, open this, like, thing. It's called a door and walk through. And amongst your threshold, it's just aisles of, like, game memorabilia, old-school systems, new systems, old-school games, new games. And you just fucking have an aneurysm and collapse and die. I think you've gone to heaven. But you really didn't. It's not really heaven, but it would be my heaven. If I die and that's where I wake up as, when I pass on to new life, a huge area full of, like, all kinds of types of gaming, that would be my heaven. But I would have to say that those stores exist, right? So there is a want and a need for physical copies of games. Now, just because GameStop is, like, not doing so well figuratively speaking, I really don't think that they're doing as bad as everybody wants you to believe. I think that they just love to throw it out there to help generate like new sales and new pitches and try to take the store into different levels. But if you go into any store like Target, or you go into Walmart, or you go into GameStop, or you go into like an FYI, if they still have them around you, and you'll find game memorabilia, you'll find game, physical copies of games, and they're purchased by people. Because why? Because most gamers want the physical copy of the game. It just goes to show you that if you go, right, say you cannot wait, and I'm going to throw this out there, I don't care if any of you are mad at me or whatever, but it's a Nintendo reference, but if you're excited for Animal Crossing, and you go and you pick up that game, you immediately get excited. You're like, oh my God, here I have Animal Crossing. It's the next Animal Crossing that's going towards like the series of Animal Crossing that spans across like three or four different systems on which Nintendo's created. Yes, there's just a feeling of holding the game. Now, if you go and you download it, it's like, yeah, I got it, but you'll forget about it. Trust me, I forget about all the games I've downloaded. The only single solitary game that I downloaded and that I never, in fact, forgot about was when I downloaded Senua's Sacrifice, the Hellblade game, the first one. You know, the one that was originally going out for Sony, but then Xbox bought it out because they thought, ooh, we need something to generate people to come play on Xbox. Yeah, that game. Well, I was very excited for that game. I followed the development of that game through Ninja Theory, and I was very excited for that game. I really wanted to play that game. I thought it was a different concept. And I played that through and through, and you know, and I beat it in its entirety, and I nearly bawled my eyes out at the end. That's right. I bawled my eyes out at the end because it was a very touching, very sad, but like uplifting type of ending for a video game. You know, unlike when, you know, you save Princess Peach in Mario Odyssey and she's like, bitch, I'm taking a vacation. Peace. Yeah, that was not as tear-jerking as much as possible, because really, I don't fucking care if Mario ever gets the princess. I think she's a bit aloof, to be personal, but hey, that's just me speaking. So, anyway, so yeah, like, this idea that we, as gamers, you know, those of us that incorporate gaming within our life, within not just, like, our childhood, but, like, our adult life, you know, the guy who's, like, he looks like he's in his 40s, he's bald, he's got a full beard, you know, he's got his wife with him. You know, they're both like decent looking people, you know, they're probably really hot when they were younger, but now they have to put a little extra weight. They have like two little kids toting around. And he's got on that Zelda shirt, and you're like, ooh, the hell corny is that? That's a dad. No, that's a gamer, bitch. That guy, I guarantee you, will tell his son and daughter, hey, this is what I played, and get them involved in it, and watch them grow to love this series too. That's the beauty of gaming. And that's the beauty of passing down, not digital code that are put up on your screen that you can download or play on a streaming service, but a physical copy of the game. Personally, if I had a son or daughter, which I do not, and I said, hey, you know, I would love to get them involved in gaming, like I do with my niece and nephew. I try to get them to play games, and I don't get them to play games on their phone. I want them to hold a controller in their hand, you know? I want them to know what it's like to sit down on the floor and have to figure out how to maneuver a character around on the screen, even if it's just a side-scroller. But, like, you know, watching them play Lion King, it made my world. Like, I was sharing something of myself with them. And I don't feel like you can get that same overall feeling by just saying, hey, here's $20, put in a code and you can download the game. No, I want to take the kid out. Like, hey, let's go to Too Many Games, which is an event where they have all different vendors come from all different places, and they just have immense of like video game paraphernalia and all kinds of stuff. And watch them get excited and walk around. Because honestly, watching, you know, like someone scroll through like their TV looking for a game is really fucking boring. In fact, for me to do it myself, I get bored. I'm like, okay. And then I'm like, fuck this shit. But to walk into like GameStop or scroll through the video game aisle on Target or Walmart and like look at the games, you know, physically pick it up and hold it in my hand, there's something that cannot be replaced about that. Now, I'm all for technology. I think technology continually needs to get better. But I think this whole idea of everything going to streaming is complete bullshit. And this is my take on it. And you may feel differently, and that's your opinion. But I'm right because it's my fucking podcast. No, I'm just kidding. But I am right. Here's the thing. If you have a subscription to a service, right, you're paying for that service. Now, some of us who play on gaming systems such as the wonderful PlayStation 4 or the semi-mediocre Xbox One, and you go and you play on it, and in order to go online, right, in order to use their subscription services, don't you need to pay to get online from them in the first place? Yeah, so there's ding number one. Ding number two, don't you have to pay to get internet service to pay to use internet on your system? Yeah, that's strike number two. And here comes the big whopper, people, the biggest whopper of all. They want you to pay again to play games continually through the months. Now, here's the thing. I don't care if you're giving away a subscription service for $2.50. When I play a game, I take my time. I don't run through games really fast unless I just become completely addicted to it and beat it within, like, you know, a couple of days, which I have done. But it's not because I didn't take my time or did it. I just was really good at the game and it just kind of went that way. But I like to take my time. I had Uncharted 4 and I literally played that for two or three months straight. And it was because I spent so much time looking at the visuals of the game, right? Now, here's the thing. If I was paying a monthly subscription, I'd be paying for that game every month I played it. Whereas personally, I like to think of as I am actually very good at utilizing the system of credits and all that with trading in games. And I didn't actually pay any cent of my money towards having this special edition Uncharted 4 with the tin box, the metal box and like the stickers and the little booklet that came with it. Why? Because I traded in games at the right time and utilized their system, which is in place, which is actually fairly decent if you know how to use it. Fuck what the guys in GameStop are telling you and pay attention to the fine print and you'll be okay. That's why things just don't seem to work for them. But most people don't know. So maybe I'll go into that one day too. But back to this idea that I'm going to pay continually, right? So it's like $2.50, which will never happen ever in our society in the United States of America because everybody wants money in this godforsaken country. It's all money. But still, I have to keep paying for the game. Now, here, I could, you know, trade in some games that I'm not going to play. And I don't just trade them willy-nilly. I have a good collection of games. And there's games that I have I will never part with, no matter how strapped for cash I am. And you go and you're paying money. Well, see, that's great. But see, if you want to continually have access to that game and say a couple years later, you're still paying for it. Whereas here, I own Uncharted 4. I can play Uncharted 4 whenever I fucking want to and not have to pay a fucking dime to play that game. I might have to pay a monthly subscription for my internet, which is outrageous. And I might have to pay to get access online to Sony to do the multiplayer stuff, which I tend to not do. So therefore, I don't even need the internet to play the game, so I don't have to pay anything extra anyway. That's the problem. Streaming is only great if it was all wrapped up into one and it was like multiple services that were bundled, but you don't get that. You know, you have to pay for Netflix, you have to pay for Hulu, you have to pay for CBS Access, you have to pay for your access to PlayStation, you have to pay for Microsoft Golden Pass. And then when you realize that you're paying so much money to go online and play with other people, when there are games out there that you can simply just throw inside your PlayStation 2, power up your two controllers, and play side by side with somebody else. And, you know, it's not as great as it is playing online, because online playing is a lot of fun, I will say that, because I am a fan of Destiny. And playing online, like, a few other games, but you get the point. The thing is that I don't want, nor do I need, to pay a subscription service to access games that I can get cheaper at Too Many Games or GameStop buying news or just looking online through Amazon than have to pay for some asshole to put it on there. Here's the thing. This is the other, actually, this is like the fourth strike. I mean, we're going way past three strikes now here, people. Here's the other thing, and I want you to really think about this, because this, for me, as a gamer, and I would think that anybody who claimed themselves to be a gamer would, in fact, have this problem, too. If you were to, say, want to play a game that was a little bit more obscure, something that you might not necessarily see on there. Like some of us that are fans of Silent Hill. Well, I mean, Silent Hill is like, you know, it's got its like sort of like public type thing, but I really think it's still, it's got a group, and it's like the word I'm looking for is cult following, right? Those of us that play Silent Hill and that play and have gotten all the endings and know all the different backgrounds, they went out and bought Figma characters of like the Bubblehead Nurse and the Pyramid Head thing. You know, those of us, those guys and gals, like, I guarantee you, you're not going to find some of those games on those subscription services. And if you do, great. But I'll tell you one thing that they're not going to have, and I guarantee you this, is that there is a game that I currently own for my Nintendo 3DS. Well, actually, it's for my Nintendo DS, but I can play it on my 3DS. And it is called Rub Rabbits Feel the Magic. And you can't find it in, like, the game stores anymore, because, like, there's, like, really no, there's no, like, DS presence. Like there used to be. Like, it's, they kind of just faded off. Nintendo went for the whole Switch Lite, and now they're just like, fuck the 3DS. But the 3DS is a really amazing system. When you play Mario in 3D, it is a lot of fun, especially Mario Kart. But, you know, 3D is not for everybody, I suppose. But here's the thing. Like, those games, if I were to say, well, fuck it, I'll just trade in all my games and wait for it to show up on one of the streaming services, when does that happen? And I have to wait. And then what happens if they get rid of a game I like? Like, think about Netflix. Think about some of the shows that you like that suddenly got yanked and they put in some other bullshit that's like, the fuck did they put this on there for? That's what's going to happen to those streaming services for video games. They're not going to have an infinitesimal backlog of video games you can have access to. They'll maybe have like 500, maybe 1,000, but if you really think about it, if you go back, you know, decades of like video games, you're not going to get that same, you're not going to get that same amount. Like, you're not going to see games, obscure games on there. Like, I guarantee you that they're not going to throw up on PlayStation for PlayStation 2 Rule of the Rose. A lot of people find that game disturbing. If you go to buy a physical copy of it, people want to make you pay like $250 for it, $300. So I highly doubt they're going to put that on there, because they're going to put games that are AAA that everybody's heard of. You know, you'll see Resident Evil on there. You'll see, like, probably Twist and Metal, Need for Speed. You'll see all the NHL, NBA, Madden, all those games will be on there. But you're not going to see other games, you know. You'll see Crash Bandicoot. You'll see Spyro. You might even see The Sims. You'll probably see Tomb Raider on there. But will you see all the Tomb Raiders on there? I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe they'll have 1, 2, 3, get rid of Revelations, and then have the ones for PlayStation 2, like the Darkness one. It's just, I don't trust it. And I don't trust it because of this. But going back to the fact that I'm a gamer, I own soundtracks of video games. And being as I referenced Silent Hill is one of the series that I own like music from the game. I have a record that it was specially made by a company, and it has the original soundtrack for Silent Hill 1, and it's a 2-record set, and it's a collectible. Well, I wanted to get Silent Hill Downpour's soundtrack. I really liked it. It's not the same composer as the original ones, but the composer was actually fairly decent, and he kept in line with what the original games were for music-wise. So, like, I went and I bought it, and then one day, you know, when I was switching out phones or whatever, I lost a lot of my music. They didn't back up for whatever reason. Thank you, iPhone. Thank you. Thank you, Apple. And I went back to my iTunes account, back to Apple. You know, Apple, the one who has all the iTunes stuff, which systematically disappears, and you don't realize it till you delete the music, and then you want to go get it, and it's not there anymore. They changed the fucking code for the songs. So therefore, when I went to re-download them, that actual, like, line of code that says I purchased that soundtrack was not there anymore. I was like, well, how did that make me feel? I was fucking mad. I was livid. I was like, you know, this is why I don't purchase songs on iTunes anymore. That killed it for me. Because I had to go and call them, and then they reimbursed me for what I paid, which was great, but then they upped the price to what I had to get. They wouldn't just give me access to download the album again because I already paid for it. No, they wanted me to shell out like a couple dollars more to re-download something I already bought but was gone because they got rid of it in the first place. So, fuck you, Apple. I don't have an iPhone either. So, that's just, you know, my personal experience. But that's why I don't trust the whole idea of streaming gaming. I mean, I was streaming services, right, on, like, my TV, right? I had Sling, and I'm paying a subscription service, but some of the shit just wasn't working. I couldn't access it from everywhere as they said I could. So that kind of aggravates me, which leads me to believe, what happens if, like, there's a stupid blurb in my horrible Comcast internet connection, and I lose it, and I lose everything that I've done while playing The Witcher, or playing Skyrim? You know, and then, like, oh my god, now I don't have any of those save files. They deleted that, and then I have to go and replay everything all over again. Like, there's not... It's bad enough that you can lose files on hard drives, as it is for what we use now in the video game systems. I believe that the actual physical cards were more formidable at holding actual information on them than the hard drives that we use today. And to lose that file because they fucked up somewhere in their system, it's just disheartening. But imagine playing and putting, I don't know, like 60, 70 hours into The Witcher, and you're onto the DLC, and your fucking thing is scrubbed clean and you're screwed. That can happen with game streaming. Or it could just blurp and not work, and then you're stuck. You can't play any games. Why? Because their system's down because some fucktard in his mom's basement went and hit put a denial of service attack on him. Like, it's not good. It's not the way we need to go. It's not the way gaming needs to go. What that is tech companies trying to gain access to video games, but do it in a cheaper way. But when you do things in a cheaper way, as in with technology, you get cheaper products. It's not conducive for those of us that are in and wanting to play video games. We like our video games. We like to be able to play on our old Nintendo 64s that still work today. Whereas people who just bought their Xbox One had to go and return it because it died. Or when their 360s had the red ring of death and they couldn't even do anything about it. That's the thing. These new technologies, they're great. I think that you can do them and you can give people access to do them, but I don't think that that's the way of the future of gaming. I think that it should be its whole separate thing. And, like, maybe it can be easier on publishers of games to throw in a lot of indie games in there to give you access to those types of games. You know, kind of like a little bit of a taste to play a game, and if you like it, you can go back and, you know, buy it. You know, a lot, that way it's kind of like still keeping the physical copies of games, but giving you an option to say, hey, if you want to toss a couple extra bucks here, you can, you know, run through and play a couple games and see if you like them. Kind of almost like a demo, but it's the full demo, and you can play it for as long as you like. Suppose you like the game, but it's like, I probably won't buy it, so play it, beat it, and then you're done with it. But if it's a game that you really like to take time and invest in, fuck it. Go out and buy the game, and then you can go and look at other games. But that's just it. That's all I see streaming for video games to be worth for us. And like I said, you may have your own ideas, your own opinions of it, and that's fine. You're wrong, but that's fine. But if you want to, I don't know, send the comment towards my way to let me know how you see it, I won't lambast anybody for their opinions. So don't lambast me for mine, because, you know, we're grown-ups here. It's time to put your big boy pants on. The internet does not make you any savvier because you can hide behind a computer screen. Just be cordial. That's it. That's all I'm looking for. Or I will just ignore you. So that's it. That's my take on the whole cloud gaming based bullshit that they want to try to regurgitate and throw down our throats. I don't believe it. I don't think it will pan out as well as they believe it will. But I could be wrong. I don't think I am. And when it comes to things in the video game industry, I've been pretty damn set on from, you know, at an early age. I kind of see where this is going, because I know people who play games. I know what they like. And I feel sometimes that people who think they know and they write these articles and they want to come out sounding all smart and businesslike, but it really doesn't transcend well in the actual real world. You know, a lot of things sound good on paper, but in reality, they're shit. So that's my podcast, my first podcast. Hope you liked it. If you did, send me some likes, send me some love. And until next time, people, game on.